I'm going to start today with a story about a little boy, actually a family, that would celebrate Thanksgiving together every year. And they had a tradition where everybody would go around and they would each say what they were thankful for. And they got around the table and they got to the little five-year-old boy in the family. And once he got the platform, he kind of ran with it. First, he looks at the turkey and he's thankful for the turkey, and he says, well, even though I haven't tried it yet, I know it's going to be good. And he thanks his mom for buying it and for cooking it. And since he has the platform, he just keeps going. He thanks the farmer for making it fat and the people that made the feed and the farmers that grew the feed to make the feed. He thanks the truck driver that took it to the store and the people that put it out on the counter or out on the shelves for his mom to buy. And then after all of that, he said, have I left anybody out? And his eight-year-old brother that was getting kind of, he was getting a little embarrassed by all of this, he said, God. And the five-year-old said, and I love this, very solemnly, not being flustered at all, he said, I was about to get to him. I think that's how a lot of us are. We're about to get to Thanksgiving, but we just don't ever quite get there. And there's lots and lots of reasons that we do that. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But sometimes we just forget. We're so busy doing and working that we forget. Other times, I think we get so good at providing for ourselves that we become convinced that we are the source of our own blessings. And we don't really need God, but either way, we do need to stop and offer thanksgiving and praise to God. That is something that our hearts need. That is something that our spirits need. And without it, I think there's a lot of spiritual danger in that. So we need to offer thanksgiving. And one of the best places that we find in Scripture examples of that is in the Psalms, and particularly Psalm 100. We know that this is a psalm of thanksgiving because the psalmist tells us that it is. Even before the poetry begins, in the title, there's a title there. In the Old King James Version, it's translated a psalm of praise. In some of the newer translations, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. But you know it. It's familiar, and it's not very long, and it's beautiful. It goes like this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. When you think about it, this psalm, in many ways, it kind of gives us it tells us everything we need to know about Thanksgiving. The who, what, when, where, and how of Thanksgiving. It's all in there. We start with make a joyful noise to the Lord. So we learn what it is that we are to offer to God, and that is a joyful noise. We heard that with the kids. We heard that with Jason. I hear it when we join together in singing those great Thanksgiving hymns that we only get to sing one Sunday a year. Two of my favorite hymns, we gather together and come, ye thankful people, come. So we know what we're to offer. We know to whom it's to be offered. It's to be offered to the Lord. And who is to offer it? And that is all the earth. All the earth, all creation offers thanksgiving to God. We also then read, worship the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. So we learn how we're supposed to do this. We're to do it with gladness. We're to do it with singing. This isn't just a solemn affair. It should be fun. It should be joyous. And then we move into the why of Thanksgiving. This is, I think, probably one of the most important verses, and it's right smack in the middle. Verse 3. The reason we give thanksgiving is because the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And when you know that, then you know the when and the where, because we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's what we do, and we do it right now. We don't wait. One of my dudes in a diner guys pointed out that this last verse that we just read, we enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, is actually stenciled on the wall of the God's Way Christian Center. And it just, I thought that that's really appropriate. I think you could put that in every sanctuary. It kind of makes sense, because that's what we do when we recognize that we belong to God, that we're related to one another, and that we have this in common. It's just natural for us to want to go to the place where that's acknowledged and give thanks to God. And as I said, that verse right there smack in the middle of the psalm is really the key to it all. Knowing that the Lord is God, and it is that He that made us, and that we are His. That's when we know that. The natural progression is that we are going to want to give thanksgiving. And knowing that, I think, can also help us avoid what I would call kind of delayed thanksgiving and joy, something I kind of alluded to a little bit earlier. And I think we're all guilty of this from time to time, of putting off thanksgiving, putting off joy. I hear people do it all the time. They'll say, for instance, they'll say, when I make this much money a year, when I finally get, then I'm going to be content. Then I'm going to be happy. Maybe they'll say, when I retire, you know, when I finally retire, then I'm going to be able to spend some time with my family. Then I'm going to be happy. Then I'm going to be content. Or even something as simple as, I just need some time off. When I finally get some time off, then I'm going to be able to relax. Then I'm going to be able to be happy. So what happens then is that Thanksgiving is always, it's always around the corner, right? It's never something that we're ready to enter into. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that a lot of us are strivers. We set goals. We're working for something, and we're never really satisfied. And when we do that, the treasures, it's always over the next hill. And the danger of that is that we fail to recognize the treasures that are in our own backyards, that are right there, that God has blessed us with and wants us to recognize and see. My mom used to tell a story to her Sunday school classes. For years she told this story, and it came to mind as I was thinking about this week, about a man, kind of a parable, about a man who was a treasure hunter. He was obsessed with it. He traveled all over the world searching for treasure. He went to Africa in search of diamonds, and he went to the mountains in search of gold, and he went to desert islands looking for buried treasure. He was just sure he was going to find buried treasure, and he never did. And he died without ever finding a treasure, and he died poor. All he owned was a little house on a little piece of property out in the country. Didn't even have enough money to buy a burial plot in the cemetery. And so his acquaintances, he didn't really even have any friends at this point. He just had some acquaintances. And they said, well, we got to do something with him. And so they said, let's just take his casket and bury him in his own backyard. That is something he owns. We can do that. So they took him to his house, and they started digging a grave in his backyard. And they got down about 3 feet, and they ran into solid rock. And when they cleared the dirt away from the rock, what did they find but a 2-foot gold vein, a vein of gold that ran through his entire property, right? So he had searched the world over for treasure, and he'd never bothered to look in his own backyard. And of course, that's what we sometimes do as well. This upcoming Thanksgiving holiday gives us a chance to do that, to look in our lives, in our own backyards, for the simple things, for the little things that God gives to us, that are so precious that sometimes we overlook. And the focus of Thanksgiving, really, in many ways, is on the home. We think of it, you know, Thanksgiving is a religious idea. Certainly, it's all through Scripture, as we see in the Psalms and other places too. But the actual celebration of Thanksgiving is not a church thing. Most churches don't meet on Thanksgiving Day. It's a secular holiday. So it's focused on home. It's focused on relationships. And it really does give us a chance to see that God has blessed us in all of these ways. And I know whenever Thanksgiving rolls around, whenever this time of year rolls around, I begin kind of, my heart turns towards home. I'm sure yours probably does too. For years, when my family, we were all able to meet together either at my parents' house or my grandparents' house. Now it's a little more complicated, and we're kind of all over the place. So, for instance, this year, some are going to be in Chicago, some are going to be in Des Moines, some are going to be in Ohio, California. We're just kind of all over. But whenever we can get together, we do. And it doesn't really matter where it is. Wherever we are, that's where home is at any given time. And I don't know about your families, but our Thanksgiving celebrations are anything but peaceful and quiet. We are all kind of loud people. We're talking over each other and laughing and arguing. It's joyful pandemonium, but it's exactly the kind of Thanksgiving that I would want. And I give thanks for that. It's important that I get to be a part of that every year. It's home. Just like this place feels like home to me when I gather with you. There's a new tradition. Maybe you've seen something about this online or heard people talking about it. It's called Friendsgiving. It's kind of a millennial thing, I know, but it's something that a lot of people are doing. And if you've never heard of it, what Friendsgiving is, it's kind of like a second celebration, second Thanksgiving celebration, except instead of being with your blood relatives, and those, by the way, are the people that you don't get to choose, right? These are with people you do choose. And so it's kind of like a Thanksgiving celebration with your friends, basically, is what it is. Being at church for me is like Friendsgiving. That's what it's like for me. It's a place I choose to be, and for a lot of reasons. And one of the main reasons I choose to be here is because we share a common faith. That's really important to me. Sometimes we don't always share that faith with our families. Oftentimes we don't. But here, we share that together. We recognize that God is our creator, that God provides for us, that God forgives us and covers us with his love. And when we know that, when we know who we are and whose we are and what's been done for us, we can't help but offer up thanksgiving together. We can't help but want to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It's just absolutely a natural progression. That's how it's supposed to work. And so true thanksgiving always represents kind of a turning towards home, towards those treasures in your own backyard, towards the ties that we have with our biological and our adopted families and the warmth of that. It represents a turning towards home in terms of our church family, being a part of the body of Christ, being a part of something much bigger than ourselves here in this world. And it also represents our hope of a home beyond this one. We didn't sing this verse today, but there's the very last verse of "Come Ye Thankful People Come" goes like this, and it kind of points in that direction. And I love this. The hymnist writes, "Even so, Lord, quickly come, bring thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin, there forever purified, in thy garner to abide. Come with all thine angels come, raise thy glorious harvest home." So there's good news in that. The good news is that when we leave this home, for which we are thankful, God has prepared a final, eternal home for us, a place where we will continually praise God together. And that's a reason, another reason for us to enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. In the coming week, I know you're going to be hearing it on Facebook and in the news and newscasters, and lots of people are going to be, just be thankful kind of in general, just be thankful in general. And I'm just going to step out on a limb here and say that's really not what Thanksgiving is about. We're not thankful in general. We're thankful very specifically. Somebody said it's like you're not married in general, right? If you're married, you're married very specifically. We're not thankful in general. We're thankful because we know from whom our blessings flow. We know who gave us these gifts. We know that it is God to which we are thankful. the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who provides for us. And so during this Thanksgiving holiday, may our hearts turn towards home. May we be truly thankful for those treasures that are right in our own backyards that we sometimes overlook. May we be thankful for that home that we have in Jesus Christ and the relationships that we have with one another as a part of that. And let us be thankful for that home that we will someday all dwell in thanksgiving and praise, because as the psalmist says right there at the end, the Lord is good. His love, or his mercy, it endures forever, and his faithfulness to every generation. Let us pray. Lord, we come as people who want to be aware of the good things in our lives. And I know that there are sometimes we have filters and we have things that just get in the way of that. Sometimes it's sin that gets in the way of that. We just pray that you would clear that stuff out of the way, so that we could see very clearly the blessings in our lives, so that we could truly respond in gratitude and thanksgiving and praise. Help us to recognize those things. Help us to offer genuine thanksgiving to you as we seek to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.